Angelingua gloriosi, sing my tongue the Savior's glory, of his flesh the mystery sing, of the blood all price exceeding, shed by our immortal King, destined for the world's redemption, from a noble womb did spring. Those beautiful words written so long ago by St. Thomas Aquinas for the Feast of Corpus Christi now become for us tonight the special hymn that we sing at the end of this Mass as we solemnly transfer the body of our Lord from this main altar to its place of repose at the side altar, which tonight for us will represent the Garden of Gethsemane. Thomas Aquinas was an amazing theologian that wrote volumes about the Eucharist and the truths of our faith in his great Summa Theologica. But perhaps not many of us will read those great volumes. And although he wrote much in beauty of the Eucharist in theology, perhaps no more beautiful words did he ever write than in this song, Pange Lingua, about our Lord's body and blood, which we celebrate tonight. Tonight is not a night that requires deep theology or much learning or discussion or teaching. Rather, tonight is a night to sing the Savior's glory. And he did mean sing. He wrote this not as a learned paper, but as a piece of poetry that would become a song. Tonight we sing of the blood, all price exceeding, shed by our immortal King. Tonight is a night for singing, for solemn celebration. We need a night like this, a night in which we come together to experience once again a little bit of that first night where we see Jesus gathered with his apostles around the table where he offers himself for us. Of a pure and spotless virgin, born for us on earth below, he as man with man conversing, stayed the seeds of truth to sow. Then he closed in solemn order, wondrously his life of woe. Perhaps there is no greater mystery than that of the Incarnation. Indeed, we are here tonight because God loved us so much that he took on our flesh of a pure and spotless virgin and was born for us on earth below. Perhaps we look at envy with the apostles as we imagine back to that Last Supper, how they could have intimately sat down at table with Jesus. Perhaps we hold the apostles in such great esteem that they were able to talk and converse so intimately with Jesus. He as man with man conversing. That beautiful intimacy of face to face talking with Jesus. Yet we know that as he was leaving, the night before he died, he wanted to perpetuate that intimacy of his presence with us. The Incarnation begun so long ago in Nazareth, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, when he was born in Bethlehem, when truly we knew that God was with us in the flesh, that we could reach out and touch him, that we could speak with him and talk with him, that he was tangibly present in the world. That was not just meant for a time. Jesus meant that presence of God with us to be for all time. And so, as he closed in solemn order his wondrous life of woe, as his earthly days were coming to an end, he left us the great sacrament of the Eucharist to perpetuate forever his presence with us. Indeed, the apostles hold nothing on us. Jesus is just as truly made present tonight in our Eucharist as he was on the night of that Last Supper, on the night that he so many times reclined with them. Jesus is perpetually here with us in the Eucharist. On the night of that Last Supper, seated with his chosen band, he, the paschal victim eating, first fulfills the law's command. Then, as food to his apostles, gives himself with his own hand. That night of the Last Supper, he gathers with his most intimate friends, his chosen band. Tonight we know that we are that chosen band. Jesus chooses us to be with him tonight in this intimate meal. He, the paschal victim eating, first fulfills the law's command. We know that Jesus gathered to celebrate the Passover. He was faithful to the plan God had established. Indeed, we read tonight from the book of Exodus. We read of the Passover. We know that all through history, God was preparing his people for the incarnation of the Messiah. And he trained them to be able to accept this beautiful sacrament of the Eucharist. Throughout their history, priests had over and over again been called to take a lamb, slaughter it, and offer it to God for forgiveness of sins. Jesus' disciples knew what the priesthood was. They'd been trained for over 1,000 years. You know, this week I tried to teach the children at the Children's Mass a little bit about Holy Thursday, and I talked about the institution of the Eucharist, but I said, there's another sacrament that is instituted on this night. And I was trying to get it out of them, and I was asking, well, we have bread and wine on our table back there. How will they become the body and blood of Jesus? What else do we need besides bread and wine? And I got various answers. And I actually was kind of getting frustrated a little bit because I was wanting them to say, well, we need the priesthood. Without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. But one kid, he said, you know, what else do we need? He's like, well, we need Jesus to die on the cross. I thought, wow. That's the exact same thing St. Thomas Aquinas said in like volume 400 of one of his theological writings. He's a smart kid. I think we have a theologian budding in our school. But he's right on, because although the young man probably didn't know it, Thomas Aquinas knew it, that without Jesus' death on the cross, there is no completion to the incarnation. There is no Eucharist. For truly in the upper room, in that intimacy of that Passover meal, Jesus is well aware that his hour has come. It is his death on the cross that he foreshadows as he offers his body and blood to his apostles. On the night of that Last Supper. You know, in John's Gospel, where we read so beautifully of the washing of the feet tonight, I was once reading in a Bible that it had a little asterisk by the word Passover when it said Jesus came to celebrate the Passover. And I looked at the footnote that was referred to, and it was pointing out that in John's Gospel, Jesus celebrates this Passover the night before Passover. And the footnote said Jesus celebrated the Passover the night before because he knew the next day he would be dead and would be unable to celebrate the Passover. He knew that the next night he would be dead. He knew that this was his Last Supper. And so although we too come tonight to celebrate the beauty of the Eucharist and we enter into the wonder of that upper room, we know too that this is a special feast that is uniquely colored and characterized by the passion of Jesus. We know that this was Jesus' night on which he was betrayed. We hear as we celebrate the Eucharist tonight. It is a solemn meal. What would it have been like to be with there with the apostles, knowing that we're doing this a night early because we won't be able to the next night? We should have that same kind of seriousness every time we come to the Eucharist, knowing that, yes, we celebrate the beauty of Jesus' presence, but we always do it in the context of Calvary. Indeed, in order to have the Eucharist, we really do need Jesus to die on the cross. Word made flesh, the bread of nature, by his word to flesh he turns. Wine into his blood he changes, what though sense no change discerns. Only be the heart in earnest, faith her lesson quickly learns. Aquinas, the great theologian, even in his beautiful poetry, could not get by without one verse of doctrine. But he takes six volumes of his Summa and condenses it down into just these six verses to say so beautifully in poetry what we believe about this Eucharist. The Word made flesh that we spoke of, Jesus Christ, takes true bread, and by his Word, the Word himself transforms true bread into his true body. His wine into his blood he changes, though the senses perceive no change. The doctrine of transubstantiation is all beautifully right there in poetry. It is through the Word of the Word that ordinary and true bread becomes the body of Christ, and ordinary wine becomes the blood of Christ, though our senses can sense no change. It is a great mystery, and so we are in awe as we come here tonight. He reminds us, though, that for the sincere heart, the heart that is in earnest, faith alone is enough. It requires faith to accept this great mystery. And it is our faith that brings us here tonight in love to gather around the table of the Eucharist and know that Jesus, the incarnate Word, will once again tonight speak his word. The priest, so necessary for the Eucharist, at that intimate moment in which the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ, the priest disappears, as it were, and becomes the very person of Christ and uses the very words that Christ used on that night 2,000 years ago. Tonight, the priest takes into his hands the true bread and speaks the words of the Word. This is my body. This is my blood. And the great miracle, perceptible not to our senses, but to our faith, takes place before our eyes. There can be only one response then to this great mystery. Down in adoration falling, this great sacrament we hail. Over ancient forms of worship, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith will tell us Christ is present where our human senses fail. Jesus, truly present, causes us to fall down in worship. The beautiful hymn, Tantum Ergo, is the Latin of this verse that we use in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus takes the ancient forms of worship, the Passover, and he transforms them into what they always meant to prefigure, the giving of the Eucharist. We don't celebrate the Passover anymore. It is passed as the old rite into history and has been fulfilled by the Eucharist we celebrate tonight. Indeed, faith will tell us Christ is present, for we know that in this regard our human senses fail. Tonight, as we solemnly close this Eucharist, we receive our Lord. And rather than rush out of the church, we see him solemnly transferred in the Eucharist down the aisle of our church. We see, as it were, Jesus leave the upper room, go out across the Kidron Valley, and there arrive in the garden. And he cautions us, watch, wait, pray with me. And so down in adoration falling, we too wait and pray in the presence of this great sacrament. Tonight, our hearts are filled with gratitude as we, our Christ's chosen band, gathered in the upper room around his table, and there we hear him call to us, come, eat, come, drink. This is my body, this is my blood, which is given for you. To the everlasting Father and the Son who made us free and the Spirit God proceeding from them each eternally be salvation, honor, blessing, might and endless majesty. Amen.